New from U.S. author Mike Palachek, Camp America. Here's what American poet David Ray has to say. Mike Palachek reminds me of Socrates, the gadfly who asked unwelcome questions, Diogenes with his lantern looking in vain for an honest man, Chekhov, the man with the hammer challenging the complacent family to share their meal, Kerouac, the ever-on-the-move, somewhat hysterical searcher, and he also reminds me of many Americans who as children were so blasted with propaganda that they're devoting the rest of their lives to challenging the lies and all who tell them. In this land where babies are brought by storks and buildings collapse due to unpatriotic bricks, we need the gadfly, because no leader, preacher, guru, or saint will wake us up, though the doomsday clock is ticking close to 12. David Ray, American poet, author of The Endless Search and The Death of Sardanapalus and other poems of the Iraq Wars. To order Camp America and all of Mike Palachek's books, go to the New American Dream website, www.newamericandream.info. Howard Zinn writes, Mike Palachek writes with passion, wit, and always with a strong social conscience. Camp America, from author Mike Palachek. The website again, newamericandream.info. WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever. And peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Palachek, brought to you by the Rock Creek Free Press.
Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. It's Maundy Thursday. What we call this day, those of us raised in the Christian faith. I was brought up as an Episcopalian, also called the Anglican Church. It's the Protestant denomination that's closest to Roman Catholic in its beliefs. The only one that also claims apostolic succession. That means each priest was ordained by a bishop, who was ordained by another bishop, who was ordained by another bishop, and so on and so on. An unbroken chain goes all the way back to St. Peter. I should point out, the Roman Catholic Church doesn't recognize that Anglican or Episcopal priests actually qualify or actually part of the apostolic succession. They think something happened along the line around the time we broke off from the Roman Catholics. And Orthodox churches, such as the Greek Orthodox, also claim apostolic succession, I believe. It's probably just as valid. The whole thing really, well, I think it's a bit silly. Now, consider, is someone less qualified to be a parent if they were an orphan? Isn't it possible that they could come out of this state of not having parents, not having a connection with their ancestors, and end up a perfectly good, even wonderful father or mother? Isn't it possible then for a brilliant leader and intercessor for his flock, a pastor, minister, priest, whatever you call it, isn't it possible for such a person to come up from nowhere too? If there isn't a traceable succession of ordination back to St. Peter, are they any less qualified, any less holy? You know, that isn't really what I plan to talk about tonight. I plan to talk about a night, a couple of millennia back, 13 men gathered over supper. Their leader created something that we call the Eucharist. Bread and wine are blessed. Some believe they're transmuted into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. For others, it's a symbol rather than actually conversion. The Eucharist, the sacrament of Holy Communion, is the center of Christian faith. It symbolizes how Christ died on the cross the next day and rose to life 3 days later. The Last Supper and Good Friday, the crucifixion. Easter, when he rose from the dead, and the Ascension. These are the most important times of all in the Christian church. It's the centerpiece of the religion. The belief that Christ died for us, took on all of our sins as his own, suffered and died for our sins so we wouldn't have to. But sometimes people use this forgiveness in the odd ways. They make it figure that after they've been to church, they just got a new lease on life, a clean slate. Now they can do anything they want. Ever tried driving someplace when there were a bunch of people on their way from church to Sunday brunch? Well, you better stay out of their way. Other times, people think they can get away with anything. Any sin. Sexual, violent, discriminatory, doesn't matter. They think they can get away with anything because all they have to do is go in and confess it and get blessed again and it'll all be gone. I don't agree with that. It seems to me there's a responsibility involved that we're supposed to do better, or at least really, really try to do better every minute of every day. It seems to me that's part of the deal. Some people have used this belief is an excuse to make war on other people. Witness the Crusades, the Inquisition. Some church leaders today think that everybody in the world has to convert or else be damned. They prefer to force them to choose right now and kill off those who disagree in an effort to hasten the process. I think attitudes like that don't come from God. They come from man, or perhaps from the devil. The God that I hear, the God that I understand and know, wouldn't want me to act that way. You know, when I'm asked during a church service to pray for American military personnel who've died overseas, I cringe. Sometimes I'll say something. when I'm supposed to make some sort of accepting response, I'll say something like, forgive us or forgive them. Most of the time, I just pray quietly for their victims and for them too. It's only right. Islam seems to produce even more radical followers than Christianity, although it might be pretty much of a toss-up. Certainly not as big a difference as most in the West would like to believe. Judaism is responsible for some pretty violent incidents, too. I'm pretty sure that every religion that's ever existed has been used as an excuse to torture and kill the non-believers. Many people have noticed this characteristic of religions and have chosen not to believe in God, or at least not to believe in religion. There have been times in my life that I felt that way, too. But deep down, it seems to me God really is out there watching us, and I don't think he likes what he sees very much. I'll keep on trying to do better. I hope you will, too. And now my friend and my co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Chuck, tonight we have with us our two guests will be Joy Lefto. She's a poet in New York City, and we'll have back our regular radio columnist of the air, Sherwood Ross. He's in Coral Gables, Florida. So we are coming to you tonight from Vancouver, Canada, where Leto Sanik is, Duluth, near Duluth where I am, Fort Lauderdale, Coral Gables, and New York City. We are right now, I believe, in our run-up to the time of fascist America, and we have the chore or opportunity, however you might see it, to view this, all this, from really close up. A couple of others who did this back in the run-up to Nazi Germany were Sophie Scholl and William Shire. Sophie Scholl was a member of the White Rose Resistance, and William Shire did a radio show called Berlin Diary, and he also wrote a book called Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. He was in the belly of the beast from 1933 to 1941. And this is a quote from William Shire in his radio show, which I believe has implications for us today here in America. A steady diet over the years of falsifications and distortions made a certain impression on one's mind and often misled it. No one who has not lived for years in a totalitarian land can possibly conceive how difficult it is to escape the dread consequences of a regime's calculated and incessant propaganda. Often in a German home or office, or sometimes in a casual conversation with a stranger in a restaurant, a beer hall, a cafe, I would meet with the most outlandish assertions from seemingly educated and intelligent persons. It was obvious they were parroting some piece of nonsense they had heard on the radio or read in the newspapers. Sometimes one was tempted to say as much, but on such occasions, one was met with such a stare of incredulity, such a shock of silence, as if one had blasphemed the Almighty, that one realized how useless it was to even try to make contact with a mind which had become warped and for whom the facts of life had become what Hitler's and Goebbels, with their cynical disregard for truth, said they were. I believe that the Soviets, my impression is that the Soviets during the time of Soviet rule and, well, let's say the 1960s and before, I think they knew that their news was a fake. That's the impression I get. And the impression I get of us is that we have no idea about us. It's a time of tax season, and I got a letter from Roberta Thurston. Don and Roberta Thurston live at the Milwaukee Catholic Worker. And they sent out an internet newsletter called The Sparrow Sings, and this is a little bit from there. It does not make sense to pay for something you do not want. That is why Roberta and I have always refused to pay for war. War is hell, and those who support it and engage in it create hell. And they go on to say why they do not pay their taxes for war, and I support them. Another thing I would like to send out, there is a Google search I would like to suggest called, it would be the National War Tax Coordinating Committee. Their newsletter has just come out. Another Google search would be Carl Meyer, Carl with a K, and he is a longtime war tax resister. Another Google search that has a meaning for my theme tonight, and this is Franz Jagerstatter. Franz Jagerstatter was a peasant in Germany during the time of the Nazis, and he refused to join the Nazi army, and he was beheaded. Sophie Scholl, going back to Sophie Scholl, she was convicted of high treason after having been found distributing anti-war leaflets at the University of Munich with her brother Hans. And as a result, they were both guillotined, as was Franz Jagerstatter. And this is a quote from Sophie Scholl, but I think also has meaning for us today. The real damage is done by those millions who want to survive. The honest men who just want to be left in peace, those who don't want their little lives disturbed by anything bigger than themselves, those with no sides and no causes, those who don't like to make waves or enemies, those for whom honor, freedom, truth, and principles are only literature, those who live small, made small, die small. It's a reductionist approach to life. If you keep it small, you'll keep it under control. If you don't make any noise, the boogeyman won't find you, but that's an illusion because they die too. Those people who roll up their spirits into tiny little balls so as to be safe. Safe from what? Life is always on the edge of death. Narrow streets lead to the same place as wide avenues, and a little candle burns itself out just like a flaming torch does. I choose my own way to burn. Sophie Scholl. Well, we today here in America, out here in the dark of night with the music blaring in the background from life in pre-fascist America, on the brink, have lots of examples to follow, both bad and good. We do know that having courage does not mean not being afraid. It means doing what you need to do even though you are afraid. When we think of brave people like William Shire or Sophie Scholl, Franz Jagerstatter, Don and Roberta Timmerman, we imagine them as not being afraid of just always going forward, never backward, not being afraid. Well, we also cannot be afraid.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founder's vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
We wish to give a shout out to those listening in on the Armed Forces Network, ships at sea, military bases in 900 countries around the world, the U.S. Special Forces snipers in the Khyber Pass in Afghanistan, the Oakland Police Department, the correctional officers in Terre Haute Federal Penitentiary, the Immigrant Detention Center in Phoenix, the COINTELPRO spies in the Minneapolis Occupy movement, the BOP snitches in Chicago Metropolitan Correctional Center, and the Homeland Security undercover lunch ladies in the kitchen of Regis Jesuit High School in Denver. Thank you for the work you do in keeping us all safe and able to worship at any church we want to and sitting wherever we want to. Thank you for all you do for tuning in and for killing who needs to be killed and locking up however many people need to be locked up so the rest of us can be free, preserving the American way of life. Free as Americans. Not everyone has the freedom to do that. To go to church and sit wherever we want to in the church of our choice, then go home and pig out and watch that football game and take a nap and get up and eat a little more. Thank you for your service. You're our heroes and protectors. Amen. When you pay your taxes to the United States government for its military, you get depressed. When you get depressed, you listen to Barry Manilow. When you listen to Barry Manilow, you have dreams about Mandy Johnson in the chicken shed in 1978. When you have dreams about Mandy Johnson in the chicken shed in 1978, you wake up to try to find Mandy Johnson on Facebook. Well, when you try to find Mandy Johnson on Facebook, you drive to Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. You find out the Chicken Shed is now the Chicken Shed Restaurant. Mandy Johnson's the owner. She's been eating chicken and mashed potatoes 9 times a day since 1979. You have to crawl out the tiny window of the men's restroom to escape from Scottsboro. Don't have to crawl out the tiny window of the men's restroom. Join the National War Tax Resistance Community.
This program is being brought to you in part by Timeshares of Nebraska. Want to share time with real Nebraskans in a double-wide trailer house nestled on the muddy shores of the Platte River? Want to watch crickets dig in the sand? Sit with your toes in the leavings of the neighborhood pit bull, clutching a warm brew in your hand, your back sticking to the lawn chair you found in the laundry room when you moved in. Just relax, find an extension cord long enough, flip on the radio and listen to the ball game. Maybe crank it a little louder to get over the sound of the Hardee's drive-thru in the background. And listen to the hum of Offutt Air Force Base, command and control center of all our nuclear weapons. And know that someday these good old Huskers are just going to get her done. They're going to sit back and blow the world away. With a duct tape channel changer and the coat hanger on the metal roof attached to the American flag and MTV. Go Big Red. We're Timeshares of Nebraska Incorporated, and we live somewhere else. For our first guest, I'd like to welcome Joy Lefto. Lefto is a poet in New York City who has been a guest with us before. Joy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, Joy, if you can hear me here, just tell me what you're up to these days and maybe read us a couple poems.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been very involved in following the movement of the 99% because, after all, I'm one of them. And poems that I hadn't been able to get published, they took, like, right away in different venues. And I started going downtown and hanging out there. And then I looked around my house for anything I could give away to them, and then did. And then they tore it down. But, you know, some people are very negative about it and say, oh, what good did they do? Because now it's all over. Well, you know, it's not all over because they're still there. If you keep in touch with their website or keep in touch through other means, you can see this. Tons of events going on all the time. Okay, so I'm going to read one of the poems that I read down there that they really loved, and it's been published on their website. I have a friend accompany me. He's actually playing the melodica, which I love. And his name, he likes to use the pseudonym. He doesn't like people to know his real name. He's kind of shy, so he uses the pseudonym Double X. But anyway, I'll let him accompany me, so we're going to start now. Welfare's still a bitch. Back in the day, I burned loquacious at welfare's fair hearings. But soon I learned that when you went to your worker, you only speak when you're spoken to. Everything will be held against you, and twice more if you're white. You'll be accountable for every damn penny you didn't spend. How dare you go to Columbia University on our money? You'll see, white bitch hoe. Now, I'm at the welfare center again. I'm still the only white one here. Thank God it's not for me I wait there. I watch as everyone demands entitlement. They have their appointments. They'll not leave with disappointment. The brothers and sisters and me, we see others get special treatment. Waiting on names and numbers to be called. Liars, they say first come, first serve, but everything seems stalled. I want mine and I want it now. Latinos and blacks uprising. The guards are watchful but do nothing. Those who yell loudest, their workers come and usher them through glass doors to get what's theirs. They come back smiling. After that, it didn't quiet down till the room emptied out, after they all got what was coming to them. I wish it had been like that for me. I fought at so many fair hearings to get my claims accepted back in the day. Each time I recertified, they cut my food stamps to zero. If you're white, you get less. If you're Jewish, it's double less, because you know all those Jews are rich. They don't come from any Warsaw ghettos. And it's a damn lie any of them were killed in any fucking Holocaust. Those kikes are Christ killers is what they are. I heard it all my life. A voice at each way I turn. Sometimes I forget who I am. And it all comes rushing home like a river overflowing with leaves. Silt, memories. Someone will bring it home to me no matter how long I live. Ladies and gentlemen, we've gone back in time to the 60s. Prejudice crackles like fire in the air. We need to get our heads turned back to the street to take back what's rightfully ours. We need money, medical care, a place to live, to survive. So sad, right back at you with the blues tonight. So that poem, people like to hear me perform it, but nobody would publish it until, you know, after the 99% started making themselves known. And, you know, it's got me thinking a lot, all the stuff going on in the world today. Like, there's so many issues. You know, we have the water issue, the fracking issue. We have people. There's so many wars going on right this moment in all different parts of the world that you can't even keep track of them. And I'm wondering, is this genetics, you know, like, the mightiest will survive, or is this have to, you know, because everybody's killing everybody, everybody's killing the animals off, nobody's taking care of the planet, and the planet's overcrowded. So I'm, like, starting to think, you know, maybe they're right in China, you know, they limit childbirth. Maybe we should do that here. You don't even need a license for the most important job in the world, you know, and I'm just so concerned about that and the fact that they're lying to us about the climate and about what's happening to the planet. I really think that's true.
Joy, thank you very much.
Okay. I talked enough,
Joy,
right? Next time let's do it
Joy?
Skype, please, because I have Skype and I love Skype.
Okay. Hey, could you give us give the folks a website or some place they can go to find your writing?
Yeah, Joy Lefthouse Poetry Blog, blogspot.com, and I have a book out called The Spot of Bleach. But right now, I should probably get together another book because I've done so much writing since that book was published in 2006. And it's just, like, all over the place. But, yeah, I've been working on these Bluetree for, like, 3 years. But if you just Google my name, Leftow, you're going to come up with more information than you know what to do with.
Okay, thank you very much, Joy A., and thank you, Double X. You guys have a good night.
Oh, thank you, Double X. Thanks. Thanks. You enjoyed it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
9/11, anthrax, Bush, Cheney, Tom Clancy, wars, depression, Obama, millions buried at sea. It's all there in The Hunt for Fred October. Fred October. He's the man in the gray flannel suit, the man who ignored the world in order to build a home in the suburbs, get ahead in his job and raise his family, and now it's too late. And his children now want to kill him. He let it all happen. He could have stopped it, but he had a pressing business meeting, a golf game. There will be plane crashes, boom! Intense computer screen scenes searching for passwords to Google vital information. Tick, 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 tock, tock. And train explosions, pow! And car chases and crashes, screech, bam! And a sexy bar scene in a low light. Ooh la la. He's Fred. Fred October. And his kids want him dead. Fred October, the man in the gray flannel suit, coming to movie screens everywhere this fall. In October.
Palooza, Guernica, Libya, Bosnia, North Vietnam, Kandahar, Baghdad, Dresden, Hiroshima. It just goes on and on. Shock and awe. Just Cause. Operation Iraqi Freedom. The war to end all wars. Be all you can be. Iran has a nuclear weapon. United States Air Force, global force for good. The land of the free and the home of the brave. Fighter jets streaking over the stadium. Mary had a little lamb. It just goes on and on. Whose fleece was white as snow. It just goes on and on. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Making no sense whatsoever. Well, this is the first show in April. And regular listeners know that means we're lucky to have our regular columnist, Sherwood Ross. And here he is, Sherwood Ross.
Hi, thank you. You know, the tragic killing of Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Florida, has provoked a national outrage, and the Justice Department is investigating. Come to think of it, this is a far different response from the racist America of a century ago. It's a change for the better. In those days, white America in Washington didn't care about such killings. The outrage sweeping the nation today over the slaying of this young man suggests something very important has changed in this country. And I wanted to mention it to make us think about it. Back in the 1920s, when the Ku Klux Klan was at the peak of its sadistic influence, as many as 1,000 black men were lynched in a typical year, like 1922. 1,000 lynchings. And it was common to torture the victims those days and set them on fire before they were finally killed. In those days, there were few, if any, national outcries against lynching. A Klansman could murder in cold blood at night and go to work the next morning as if nothing had happened. White Americans generally did not get upset over KKK lynchings. There were no Justice Department investigations. The tortured and murdered blacks had few, if any, allies in the white communities. Presidents such as Woodrow Wilson themselves were racist. The only national protest might come in the form of a blues song. One was called Strange Fruit, and the lyric was, Southern trees bear strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the roots. Not far from where Trayvon Martin was shot down, the Florida secretary of the NAACP and his wife were murdered on Christmas night. That was in 1951. He was a dynamic Christian minister. His name was Harry T. Moore. And he and his wife were murdered by KKK dynamiters. I remember a week later walking in a small, largely African-American protest march in Reverend Moore's memory. It was the following New Year's Day through the streets of downtown Miami. Perhaps there were some sympathetic white onlookers, but I don't remember seeing any. We felt very much alone. Only 4 years later, though, the murder of 14-year-old Chicagoan Emmett Till in Money, Mississippi, his crime was allegedly whistling at a white woman. His murder created huge street demonstrations on Chicago's South Side. I remember listening to the orators addressing the crowds, and I had the feeling that the black community, at the least, was not going to stand for it anymore. Too many black veterans were asking, what did we fight for to be treated this way? The outrage was fierce as Emmett Till's killers were acquitted of his torture and murder. Till's mother insisted on an open casket funeral so the public could see for themselves how the killers had tortured and disfigured her son. And, you know, protected by the laws against double jeopardy, after their acquittal, the killers casually admitted their guilt to everyone and walked free, and the law couldn't touch them. It has been said that Emmett Till's murder was the spark that ignited the civil rights movement. In that struggle, still unfinished, the introduction of the nonviolent response by Reverend Martin Luther King created vast sympathy for oppressed black citizens. The Montgomery bus boycott impressed the nation so that the marchers showed the world that their struggle for equal rights was ongoing. And by 1963, the climate had changed so much for the better that King's I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial generated an overwhelming favorable national response. Following this remarkable address, the civil rights cause accelerated rapidly. The continued sacrifices of both blacks and whites alike had put a large segment of America's white population on the side of change. In June 1966, 3 years after King's speech, when James Meredith was shot down in Mississippi, the shooter was apprehended within 5 minutes by the local sheriff and put on trial and convicted. I know, I was there, I saw it. Believe me, that was an outcome that would have been unthinkable, unheard of, a decade earlier. The day after the shooting, in my capacity as Meredith's press coordinator, I told NBC's Today Show audience that those of us who marched with Meredith, and that would be about five of us all together, that we planned to finish his march against fear no matter what. And I invited people of goodwill to join us. Well, you know what happened? Thousands of people of all races and walks of life responded, including Reverend Martin Luther King. They joined us over the next few weeks so that the renewed march became literally a victory celebration over Jim Crow in Mississippi. President Johnson sent in federal registrars to enroll blacks so that black people got a chance to vote for the first time in their lives. And that was a critical turning point in the history of Mississippi, and thus in the history of the South, and thus in the history of America. What's more, as the march continued to its destination at Jackson, we received the support of many white Mississippians who had been waiting for an opportunity to step forward and speak up, but had been afraid to do so. But, you know, in spite of all the civil rights movement has achieved, a descriptive term that can still be applied to black communities today remains plight, P-L-I-G-H-T, plight. I know I don't have to tell listeners of New American Dream the statistics on black-white disparities about how far Afro-Americans have to go to catch up in the opportunities to earn as much as white people in income, housing, and education. As the years go by, I see administration after administration, including the present one, failing to make amends for what is now four generations of historic racism. Sorry, four centuries of historic racism. And presidents can accomplish great things if only they have the will to do so. President Truman banished segregation in the armed forces with one stroke of his pen in 1948. From that day, the military became a poster child for racial equality in America. It showed society and the world that African Americans and whites could live together, work together, and fight together. When I served in the U.S. Air Force in 1953, just 5 years after President Truman's edict, the honor man in our group of recruits was an Afro-American. He was elected by a predominantly white group. Most of the recruits were from a southern state, Texas. After my military service, when I reentered college at the University of Miami, the school was still banned from admitting black students by the Florida legislature. But all that soon changed, and it's changed today. And what I see on campus now, it's a virtual United Nations. Students from all over the world getting along with each other with no discourtesy, with nothing but respect so deeply ingrained that it's taken for granted. Yet America's cities remain largely segregated. More money is spent on white neighborhoods and white schools than on black ones. President Obama shows more interest in pursuing the foreign wars of his predecessor than in spending the same trillions of dollars wasted on those wars to bridge the equality gap. The battle against the kind of violence that killed Trayvon Martin is ongoing. One affirmative step would be to teach basic nonviolence to every child in every school in America. Trayvon Martin's death should serve to remind us of the long road that has already been traveled and the sacrifices made to travel that road, just as it informs us of how far we as a nation have to go. This death should be a call to action for social justice for every American. I'm Sherwood Ross. Good night to every one of you.
Thank you, Sherwood. Every column that you do for us is great, but that was one of the best ones. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Well, it just falls in my area of personal knowledge.
Good night, Sherwood, and thank you.
Good night to you and to your listeners.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
It's not a police state, and you'd be a fat communist soccer lover wearing lederhosen and a tiny Bavarian hat with a feather and a tight jacket and knee socks with buckle shoes who doesn't fit in with the rest of the family at Thanksgiving dinner, if you thought so. There are not police everywhere. You do not have to go where the police put you in order to hold your sign and have your freedom of speech like a Bolshevik perched on a potato crate. This is America. There are not thousands and thousands of people making their living off the war on terror and Homeland Security, the Border Patrol, the U.S. Army, airport box cutter, shampoo, bazooka up the wazoo finder guys, video game industry, bullet industry, the casket handcuff, an easy bake oven, secret spy camera, industrial complex. It's just not a police state. The police are not shock troops protecting the rich against the poor. It's not. Say it. It's not.
This program is sponsored tonight by My Spit and My Urine, the springtime drink of the most hated man in the world. His mother looks like George Washington. She saves her beautiful mind for beautiful things. She does not care to be bothered with the suffering of others. His father helped to kill the most popular leader his country ever had. He escaped war by lying, but sent others to die. He lied to get into office. He attacked his own country. He now has nowhere to go but back to bed. He doesn't always drink beer, but when he does, he drinks my spit and my urine. Stay thirsty, my friend. Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. The flags are at half staff at the post office, and Bueller Chevrolet, and the high school, and also Taco John's to commemorate and celebrate the upcoming anniversary of the death of Osama bin Laden, and also the burial at sea of Cruella de Vil, the Wicked Witch of the West, Captain Hook, and the Big Bad Wolf. All buried at sea. Well, a while back, we heard some stories about Kate King, the daughter of Jack Robert King, the local internet radio show host. Well, Jack Robert King is long gone, killed by the police, but Kate is still around, and she sent some transcripts of some of JRK's radio shows and some homemade notes to tell the story of their family. She sent it to the local newspaper, but they didn't want it. So she sent them to us.
Good morning, dear people. And good morning, Oakland, California, home of the Black Panther Party. The Panthers are a group that this Midwest boy doesn't know much about. Not supposed to. I've heard that they, the Chicago police and FBI, killed Fred Hampton and Mark Clark in a morning raid in Chicago. The Panthers were an actual threat to power. That meant they could not exist. Is there anything or anybody out there these days that's an actual threat to these criminals today? I heard Dick Gregory speaking one day in Omaha. He said he did not believe we landed on the moon. And then he said, they will roll tanks on your ass. It was an epiphany for me. I did not believe it at first. If you become effective, if you really challenge them, there'll be tanks in your zinnias by morning. I believe we're about to see just how right Mr. Gregory was. Is this heaven? No. It's Nebraska. This is Bigfoot Radio, streaming to you on the internet at www.lookingforbigfoot.net. Hello. My name's Jack Robert King. They killed Paul Wellstone. I feel it all around me. Like 98% humidity, like the feeling there's someone in the house who shouldn't be there. They attacked the World Trade Center to put out the Patriot Act, to steal the oil, to rule the world, to oppress their long-lost junior high sweethearts. Oh, who knows why? I suddenly realized it and reached behind me into the back seat to snatch the bad guy I know is there, but all I grab is air. I can still hear it breathing. Catch a shadow in the rear view. They killed the Kennedys and Martin. Now we've got the books and testimony, but before that, all I had to do was walk down to the Super Value for Mom to buy bread and stand on a milk crate to look into the eyes of the checkout lady as she counted my change. I might have guessed Vietnam was a lie by the glare in Father Tom's eye the way that Sister Margaret rushed by like she was always on her way somewhere to cry. Someone once said that violence is American as apple pie. Now I know why. Just some small kid from a small town thinking nothing ever happens here. Actually, I was right in the middle of the action. The baker bombed Iraq, the barber gunned down Bobby, and the poor little grandmothers in blue flower dresses and green metal chairs in that row of white porches on Sarah Street sliced the throats of children in El Salvador in their spare time during the summer in the 1980s. You can see it in their eyes, dull and dead. Not from seeing too much of the world, but too little. The robins are tweet-tweeting on the front lawn, puffing their red chests into the sun. Their song, Hang the Niggers! In the days we bombed Iraq, the farmers' co-op elevator dryers hummed a happy tune. The coffee drinkers smiled across Formica tables and asked for more cream, please. For the 10 years in between, while children died from the sanctions, from no food or light or love or prayers or Hardee's, Mr. Johnson and Mr. Smith went to work each day, drove on the right side of the road, smiled, kept their desks in order, and were not considered suspects. They really, truly stole a presidential election in the United States, and our response was to wave at the limousines as they passed by on the TV atop the kitchen counter next to the toaster. They shot down or lasered down Wellstone's plane, and they really did attack their own Pentagon. I see this, and I have zero documentation, but I don't care. I have all the proof I need. From the glazed look in your eyes, you struggle to attach the American flag to your car antenna. I understand America by watching you. I know it from growing up in the Midwest of America, playing baseball and football and riding down the middle of the street with no hands, eating an ice cream cone. The strawberry drips on my white T-shirt, and I don't care. Mom will wash it, clean it up, just as she rinses the blood of 1,000 Chileans from her hands. The lemony spray makes everything smell fresh. I see more than I want to in the referee's face as he prepares a junk ball toss to smile the drive-up teller as she helps another customer. Would evil men and women kill in order to gain absolute power? Pretty darn near impossible to believe, when they look just like us and sound just like us, tell the same tired jokes and watch the same TV shows. I do know, because I saw it myself over the top of my supersized Diet Pepsi. While children are being bombed to gooey bits, the mail still arrives at our house at 10:30. The garbage is picked up at 1, school dismisses at 3:30, Raymond comes on at 7. I see the banality of evil old Mrs. Schwartz using her tongs to set another fish square into a slot on a lunch tray at St. Mark's Elementary School. As a child in Baghdad has his nose blown away by a small bomb he thought was a toy. I do not have a leaked file or a tidbit of information or an inside source. I know all I need to know from seeing your guilty face staring out into the night while you wash dishes, leaning out the car window to order an A&W root beer, or chasing your children into the schoolhouse with one last admonition. I don't need to know Barack Obama or George Bush or Karl Rove. I know you.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO Easter Bunny Day egg hunt organizers are about average.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. Be sure to stay tuned right here for Black Op Radio with Leno Sanek. Thanks to James Boomy and his book June 2508. That's June2508.com. And to World News Trust. That's worldnewstrust.com. And to spiritualun.org. They're all sponsoring our show, and we appreciate it very much. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along?
What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American Founders' version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. Thespiritualun.org.